There are some unacknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And of course, my brother, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
And, yep. Most regrettable.
Yes, sir. 2 weeks in a row of doing this here, this podcast, feeling pretty good. I don't know when the last time we did that was. I think like a month, last month, we had two in a row or something like that.
Yeah.
Figuring it out, sorting it out. You know, it's been one of those weeks already. Like, just.
And last week I was here, I was late like 20 minutes too because I was in Idabel.
Right.
And I missed your text. So you're calling like, bro, we're here.
Tell me to text you when we left and I didn't. So.
Equal blame again.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take. Man. Golly, the time. The fact that it's just about October feels insane to me. This year has completely. Just jump past.
Where'd she go?
Yeah, I know it. Mm-hmm. They say, what did he say on the radio today? We had a guest on, and he said, with parenthood, it's like long days and short years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
True. Very true. Yeah. I agree with that statement. Long days, short years, especially as the years go on.
Mm-hmm.
The more years you go through.
I think one of the most profound and also poignant things anyone ever told me was our stepdad. He once said, by the time you're 20, it's more or less your life's half over, because the other whatever, even if you live to 150 years old, that the rest of that is going to feel faster than as fast as your first 20 years.
Yeah,
it snowballs for sure.
Yeah, snowballs. Yeah.
Yeah, time as a kid, dude, an hour was like, oh, it took forever.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You remember like 35-minute class periods?
Oh,
you're
man.
Like, man, I'm going to be in here forever.
Yeah.
I can remember being put in my room for 5 minutes and think that was the longest 5 minutes of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball Z would come on and the show before it sucked. I don't remember what it was, but like having to sit there and watch that show to get to Dragon Ball Z dragged. It was so bad.
Every minute grueling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every ad crushing.
That was like having to wait for Full House to be over so you could watch Family Matters on TGIF.
That's right. That's right. Or whatever came before Seinfeld.
Yeah, exactly. Before Seinfeld was streamed 24/7 on multiple platforms.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a Seinfeld channel now.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Just plays them all in order.
So I noticed like Sirius XM has a Conan O'Brien channel. It's like, he's great. But a whole channel? Like that's just 24/7 Conan O'Brien?
And yeah.
I don't ever listen to it, so I'm sure he's got like friends of his that are podcasts. I wonder what other things on there.
Is it his podcast, I wonder?
But it's like an abbreviated version of it because he had, who was it? Mark Maron on there, and it was like 10 minutes on Sirius XM, and I was like, there's no way that this could only have been. And I found it on Spotify. And, it was like an hour and a half or
right,
something.
Right, right. Yeah, his podcast is pretty good. The Conan podcast. I think that's really like podcasting. If you're not into like comedy podcasts, history or political podcasts.
True crime.
That's about the only, because the rest, I mean, there's a podcast for everything. But one big one that I've been seeing a lot recently is like the. They call it like the Manosphere. Have you heard of that?
I guess so.
Yeah, that's what they're calling like the Andrew Tates and people like that. But there's this other one called Fresh and Fit. Fresh and Fit. And it's these two guys who just, I mean, basically they're just all about, you know, like women are worthless. And, you know, if like a woman has had more than 10 partners in her life, she's, you know, she belongs in the streets and all this stuff.
Dang.
And, you know, just being super like
alpha male.
Yeah,
style.
Alpha male stuff. And then
toxic
like
masculinity.
Yeah. Like Nick Fuentes, who believes that if you have the gayest thing you can do is have sex with a woman.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, 100%. That's like his, yeah.
Okay.
Only real men are celibate.
Oh, right.
That's the, celibate, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Master
sex
debaters.
With women, that's gay. I'm sorry, I was confused. Incel involuntary. I was like, wait, is it celibate?
Or voluntary celibate.
When you're doing it or in, you know?
Yeah, you're voluntarily celibate.
Yeah,
there.
If you're choosing not to.
Yeah, I'm choosing
not to put it in a dirty, rotten.
Why does inflammable also mean flammable? right?
Yeah.
I'm dumb.
But this podcast has been catching a lot of heat recently because it turns out that especially both of the hosts have done it, but one of them in particular is a big he's like a big sugar daddy. I guess there's sugar daddy websites or sugar mama websites that you can go on. It's just prostitution.
You look like you need to be put through nursing school.
Yeah, exactly. And he pays for all the sex he gets, essentially. You know,
I mean, with diamond bracelets,
all that
rides and Ferraris.
But this one, I just saw a clip of one of the girls that was on that who he had contacted and forgot about, I guess. So what these two guys do is they'll just pull, you know, 8 twats off the street who have no idea, who are just right out of a bar,
right?
You know, and just sit them all in front of mics and just berate them for having OnlyFans or being, you know, gold diggers or this and that, or no morals, no values. And it's really, really bad, really bad. And I guess he had, I don't know the context behind it, but I think he had accidentally put one of these girls on that he had reached out to, and she called him out. She was like, "You were on that site. You asked me if you wanted blah blah blah, and you couldn't afford my rate. $10,000 a month is what she, you know, wants,"
that's
or whatever.
Funny.
Yeah. And he was all red face. No, you know, whatever it is.
It's $10,000 a month?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, $10,000 a month.
Yeah.
Is it? I mean,
it could be worse.
Very true.
That's
very
all true. Expenses, right? It wouldn't be anything else extra.
I don't know.
Go shopping.
Yeah,
that's the cash value. And then you also got to go shopping, the dinners, you know, all that.
That sounds like, here's $10,000. You cover, you know, we go out to eat. We split the tick.
You're paying.
Yeah, the check in half.
It may be, but think about it. I guess now that I think about it, that $10,000 also pays for a status level of some sort, because this girl's probably not cheap.
No.
She's probably wearing Gucci, probably wearing the red bottoms, all the things. So when she shows up next to him, he looks a little higher end automatically.
Fresh and fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fresh and fit.
These guys are they're hilarious how fucking stupid they are.
Is it on purpose stupid?
No, I think they believe it, man. I think they believe themselves.
That's the worst.
Yeah, but they're also podcasters, so who the hell knows? They're probably just...
Somebody has sat there in their chair listening to us thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah, probably.
Who's this Jay guy?
Yeah.
He thinks he knows everything.
We just don't have a theme. We don't have a theme to this podcast. It's like, that is
very
a theme.
Open.
Every single episode for them is about, you know, let's get on. Then there's this other one that's very aggressively Christian. It's called Whatever, at Whatever. I don't know if you've seen that podcast. Clips of it all over the place, where, again, it'll be three real Christian alpha dudes who bring on just 17 whores onto a podcast. I'll stick a mic in front of all of them and tell them that the Christian thing is not to, you know, do this and that. And they just come off as unbelievable douchebags. And then the one clip I saw of them was... because I watched this little video about alpha male podcasts are ridiculous, just showing clips of all these different ones.
Yeah.
And this one was about divorce and why it should never happen. And these guys were arguing, you know, that women just give up even through, you know, you got to tough it out. You got to tough it out. 80%, I guess, is a fair statistic that around 80% of divorces are initiated by women.
Okay.
And, you know, that's wrong and this and that. And that you should tough out any abuse that you're taking.
Like a Catholic podcast?
Yeah. Dude, they're all dressed like Guido weird, bar dudes, but they'll stick it in anything. But then they're you know, they want their women's to be very Christianly. And it'll just be you'll literally be sitting across from these girls that are dressed so slutty, just straight out of the bar, telling them this is what God would like you to do.
As if they care.
Yeah, exactly.
In that moment.
Exactly.
You know, that's not... They're not doing a
shout across at a chick that.
Yeah, they're not doing Christianity any favors by doing that.
You know, I mean,
I guess it just looks at it as stupid.
The belief is perhaps a broader pattern in human history or something. I wouldn't say Christianity. I'd probably say this is most religions. I mean, there are no female dominated societies anywhere, right? I think you had the couple on Crete way back in the day or something, but. Mm-hmm. And some Mediterranean ones or something, but to the point where I have seen in person where a guy cheats
on his wife with another woman, and his wife's not so much mad at him as she is at the other woman. It's like, oh, he's just a dude. He can't help himself.
Yeah.
You know, it's you that tempted him. And in a similar fashion, like, has a woman ever got off on a murder charge, like using crime of passion as a defense? Right. You know, I mean, not that that's just like a guarantee for any guy, you know, but guys have gotten off on that where they, you know, they walk into their bedroom and their wife's with another man. Mm-hmm. They kill the man or kill the wife and gets off on crime of passion, you know?
Or lesser sentence, at least.
Maybe involuntary manslaughter or something. He was not in his proper state of mind after seeing, no one would be, woman or man, if they walked in upon that. Totally unexpected. But, from woman, that's going to be first-degree murder. Second degree, maybe, but still be a homicide charge. You know?
Right. Because the idea is that they've got their calm. They're more calm than the rage, I guess, that a man has.
Maybe, or just a broader, broader gender discrimination thing. Yeah. Or something. It's a male-dominated society. Yeah, you're going to give, who's going to get most benefit of the doubt? It's going to be the guy, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the biggest arguments against Clinton, besides the fact that she had people killed all over the place, was that she was a woman, and that women can't lead a country, you know, because they're, you know, very emotional in decision making.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember that argument.
I remember
occasional like Bible quotes and stuff come out about it.
Yeah. It's crazy how many women hate the idea of a woman president. Right. It's insane. And they're always usually quoting some sort of biblical nature on it. And then, I remember seeing one that was like, what happens when she gets on her period?
Yeah, we have a war every month?
I'm pretty sure she doesn't have periods anymore.
I don't think she's
had
one in a while, bro. I'm just thinking. Her daughter is about to the point of not having one.
Yeah. But in that podcast, I remember they were arguing about divorce, and the guy was like, you just got to tough it out, you know, because the lady was like, well, for example, what if your husband is just physically abusing you over and over again? And he's like, just tough it out. Everybody gives up so quickly. You just got to tough it out. Make it through, you know. And then he brought up some anecdotal. He's like, I knew a guy who was, real abusive to his wife, and she stuck it out, and then boom, you know, they got a loving family, you know.
This is rage bait, right? This is
just, I don't know, man. These guys seem pretty serious.
Yeah, they decided to stop one day.
Yeah, yeah. It's like he saw the light.
Yeah.
You know?
God,
or he saw that ad that plays on NFL football games that's like domestic abuse. And they're like, oh, shit. Oh, come
on.
Pick you up, honey. Oh, I didn't know this was bad.
Yeah. Watch P. Diddy kick a woman in the hallway.
Yeah. The podcasting with this like alpha male nonsense is crazy. And then you got Andrew Tate, which I think he's just a troll. I don't think he's for real about like a lot of the shit that he says.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like literally probably like a sex trafficker and also saw that, you know, he could probably make a lot of money by selling, you know, how to pick up girl seminars and how to become a top G seminars and selling those.
Out of Romania, right?
Yeah,
there's a lot of chumps out there that want those seminars too.
Yeah, Fit and Fresh has a service you can buy on how to pick up women. And apparently you just got to have enough to have a sugar baby, I guess. That's how you do it. You just pay 10 grand a month. Boom. You got it.
I can find it way cheaper. I'm just saying.
it's crazy. Yeah. Some of this shit is hilarious, though. It's, and of course dudes are falling for it. You know, there's plenty of guys, I'm sure, that are all about the Fresh and Fit podcast and like to just like dominate, you know, any situation where.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they love
sons,
to get on there.
My sons are very much in the realm of believing in a Tate type figure, for sure. And I think
it's dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It has it has to do with my teaching them not to be a chump and a punk and be punked out.
So many different, there's such a wide margin. It was wide area between not being a pushover, being a strong, confident dude, and then
I agree.
Whatever the hell that shit is.
I think
an asshole.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. My failure was not teaching them humility along with it, I think. Mm. Yeah. Mm. So it's one of those that I'm back.
They'll
back
learn
trying.
That though. Yeah. That's just going to happen. Like Tate enslaves the minds of young men, and they quickly grow out of it the moment that they're old enough
and realize.
Yeah. Like once they're around women,
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll butcher this, and I don't know if this, I don't think this is a Bible verse. I think maybe Francis Perkins said this, but a man who does not teach himself humility will be taught it by God, you know? And, and even if you're somebody who doesn't, I mean, if you don't want to put faith into it, if you're not a humble person, it will fall upon you like a ton of bricks at some point.
Very along the lines of a biblical statement that basically says pride comes before the fall.
Yeah.
The opposite of humility is pride.
Yeah.
So if you're very prideful about something, you can expect that you will fail at it or something to show you humility in it. Yeah. I think that's the point. Yeah.
And then it's like if you spend your late teens and maybe possibly into your early 20s listening to Andrew Tate without any actual women around you, the moment that you find one that you're attracted to and like, you'll just throw all that out the window in a second. Dudes will do anything.
Absolutely.
You know, like, especially for a girl he likes, it'd be like, oh yeah, honey, absolutely, you know, and that's just the way it goes.
They may try a few of the things that they learn, you know, see if it works, and when, as soon as they shoot it down, they're like, oh, no, never mind, honey.
Yeah. It's like incels. The way they turn on their community after getting laid, you know, women are awful and they need to be removed from the earth. And then they get laid and they're like, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, like,
woke up.
Where have I been?
I've been noticing the core enslaving ability of women, for my daughter. I'm going to be in trouble if I don't figure something out before long, if I don't get my act together. It's like yesterday she's sitting on the couch. I'd already like cut up a bunch of grapes for her and given them to her. And then she's like, I want a chewy bar. And I was like, you want a chewy bar? I'll get you one right now. Just immediately go unwrap it, give it to her. And I'm like, what did I just do?
Hmm.
Like, I just literally just took commands. Like I was the slave of the house or something. And didn't think twice of it until afterwards. I'm like, wait a second. She can have a chewy bar, that's no problem. But man, she yelled it, and she was no please thank you. She yelled it, and I hopped up and I went and got it to her.
Right now it's a chewy bar.
Who knows?
Tomorrow it'll be
your
Bentley.
Wallet, Dad.
I wanted the Mercedes.
Miles has pretty much learned if you don't eat dinner, you don't eat. Like, at this point, you know, like, I try not to do too many options with him, but I crumble every now and then where he clearly doesn't want it. I'm like, all right, here's a banana.
Right.
I feel like it, not to take anything away, all right, but I think it's so much, you got, teach a boy some austerity.
Exactly.
You know, ain't nothing wrong with that, you know.
Boys and girls, completely different.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, like if I had a son, I'd be like, oh, your first vehicle is going to be some clapped out. You better learn how to work on it thing.
Yep.
My daughter, she's going to have a nicer vehicle than I've ever had.
It will be able to get from point A to point B
without
100% of the time.
No doubts at
all. Highest safety rating.
Whereas if your boy breaks down halfway to where his location, you'd be like, oh, and I taught you how to change the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
Use that matchbook cover trick I used.
Exactly.
Told you about.
Did you bring your tools?
Yeah. Speaking of that, parenthood, I did want to like kind of talk about something. I had a very nice, awesome conversation with a friend last Friday night, in which I drank 14 beers.
Nice. Okay.
And I think he drank 15. So, you know, I was almost there, but, we drank and talked for like 5 hours. I swear it was like 3 a.m. when I finally went to bed. Cross-eyed, like I took a shower. I was that stinking drunk. I had to take a shower. I was just like in the shower, like, you know, and we had talked about obviously a lot of different stuff. He's a big listener of the podcast, and you know, was a little bit inspired, I guess, or his, you know, we, you know, Patrick and I, and then you, of course, Jay, you're a little bit, you know, done with it all.
I'm advanced in my years. Yeah. What you're saying.
Got exactly.
You only got to kick out one more, huh?
Yeah. You only got one more to kick out. It's all good. He's already, you know, working for you in that.
Yeah.
But, you know, what it's like to, I guess, quote unquote, settle down and some of the advantages of it, you know? And he was like, talk about, oh man, like I could see myself having a kid and being really into that, you know? And sometimes, and I find myself in a very similar place that he did when he was thinking about this type of thing is like, I don't know. Sometimes it's insanely hard to change yourself, right? It's like probably one of the hardest things you can do is like change the things about you that you don't like.
And
that
never happens for most people.
Yeah, almost never happens. You're right.
But then it can be forced on. If you're if you have responsibility in your mind and heart, then it can be forced on you.
Right. Yeah.
You're not going to change yourself. But,
or that you get arrested for DWI.
That's another good one.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So he was like, you know, I didn't really get into it with him that much, but, you know, he was like expressing interest in that. And I thought it'd be kind of cool to talk about some of the advantages of, like, you know, and I know you guys both have been married for a long time, but, you know, settling down, so to speak, like some of the things you don't have to worry about, like it's actually awesome. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
You know, not having to worry about so much shit.
Can I be honest here? Let's start with the honesty of the worst part of it all.
Yeah.
All right. As a man, and I'm going to be a little vulgar here.
Yeah.
Pussy.
Yeah.
That's the worst part of it. You will, if you settle down and are honest and true to this woman.
Say goodbye to all that.
You ain't getting no more pussy, bro.
Yeah.
So that's the worst part about it.
Except
but
the one.
Except the one. No. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure you'll have a very great sex life with your wife, the person you settle. That's not what I'm saying.
But it is almost one of those things when
no more, no different.
Yeah.
That's it.
No more different. You won't have that Stover's or whatever, that pot of gold, like Christmas candy that's all the different flavors.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just get the one now.
But
milk chocolate.
With that being said, there's a lot of positives that come with just one partner when it comes sexual, too. A lot of positives. So.
And there's just like not having to worry about, like you still worry about kind of what you look like when you go out, of course, but you don't have to worry about, you know, impressing anybody. Like it's just
bending over when you're naked.
Yeah.
If new girl,
you've seen it.
You're gonna every move you make when you're naked is gonna be like very just, you know, very deliberate,
very masculine.
Let it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Cough, sneeze, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it don't matter.
Yeah. Once you catch a glimpse of your partner in the night vision camera of a baby monitor, there's not much left to hide there. Like you're locked in.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hope the baby doesn't have to like keep those memories. Like, Let those memories fade.
Well, a lot of the time when you pick a partner, you pick somebody and they say opposites attract. So that partner will have a lot of aspects about them that are really good that may be your weaknesses.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time partners pick each other that are, you know, they can become one and then be a better overall unit as two together as one versus two different people.
Unless she's
have
a Democrat. No way.
Often what happens too when you're playing the field is you're trying to go maybe out of your league or whatever it is that you, which is not that hard. It's not that hard to go out of your league, but what you're not going to find there is like caring or sweetness a lot of the time. Not saying that like hot chicks aren't caring or sweet or anything, but settling down with somebody, especially when you're not used to the sweetness that somebody can bring. Like, you know, I was talking to him and he has this chick that I swear to God, for the past 5 years I've been talking to this guy. Every time we talk about this girl, it ends up at her. You know what I mean? Like at some point he brings her up or I bring her up or this and that. And they never dated, you know? So I was talking to him and I was like, why don't you guys date? And, you know, he couldn't really articulate a reason why, you know, and then, you know, talking to him and you know, and they hang out a lot. And then, you know, she brings him food and comes over.
So he's been friend-zoned.
I think he's
friend-zoned her.
I think he friend-zoned her.
Really?
In a way.
Okay.
Just as in like, you know, he was locked into his lifestyle of wanting to. And
he didn't feel like he was good enough for her, maybe?
Maybe. Or like not ready to lock that in yet. Yeah. Like maybe he knows because he's very much like me where it's like if there's somebody being really nice to you and sweet to you, the last thing you want to do is almost be with them because you feel like you're going to ruin them. Like you're a degenerate, you know?
Seriously.
And he leans into that. Mm-hmm. You know, I did too because for the most part, like let's say you're playing the field, you go out with the intention of getting laid that night, you strike out on all the ones that you wanted and what you're left with is potentially like 45-year-old women or like chicks from high school that you saw there, whatever, like not your choices. Your choices get very, very low. And especially if you're desperate and like looking
at the ones that'll just come home with you.
Yes, exactly. You can get thrown into a loop of nasty, not nice, you know, women, you know, and you too, you're nasty and not nice either. You know,
you are the company you keep.
Yeah. And you're without knowing it, your life is becoming really, really shitty. You know, like it's like almost a slow boil.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of feel like you're killing it, but you definitely aren't.
Yeah, you're cooking though.
Yeah, you're cooking over time.
Slowly.
And then, you know, I wonder if it just took them a little time to realize, like, damn, this is actually, you know, and then enough listening to, say, as somebody influence you on what happened in their life, you know, how much you could see. Obviously, Patrick and I have changed. You know, what were you like before kids, Jay, versus right after kids? Probably a fucking
I was a heathen.
Day. Yeah.
I was a complete heathen.
Exactly.
You're right. Night and day. I was a very bad human being on multiple accounts. I don't think I was never like bad to people ever. Yeah. I wasn't that kind of bad guy, but I did a lot of illegal activities.
Yeah.
I did, you know, what it took to survive and on Southside. You know? So yeah. Yeah. I wasn't the best human being. I was
having fun was your number one priority.
Right.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Being a kid, you know, and even in my young 20s, I thought I was still kind of a kid. You know, I was still feeling like I was finding my way. So
yeah. Once you turn 30 and you haven't done anything yet, it can be a really shitty feeling. Like I was almost there and then all of a sudden Miles happened. So I didn't have to experience. When I turned 30, I had Miles. So felt like I had done something in my life.
And you kind of are on a good path in your career too. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
definitely
by the time you hit 30. So
for sure. Yeah, for sure.
So that's good couple good points there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
You know, simple fact is, you know, if you know, long-term relationships cohabitating, I believe is the right word, cohabitating with someone, this is one of the best ways to increase your wealth. I mean, for the average person, unless you just win the lottery or something or come from money and trust fund kiddo or something. Right. But, you know, when you
bills.
Have somebody that you can share the bills with, and mostly if that just means your house, you know, that goes a long ways towards improving your own financial situation.
You end up like financially, your life is getting better. Personally, your
Which
life
is, nice.
Is getting better. Yeah.
Because, I mean, I know none of us are in this situation, but and it's not to say that there aren't married people who are in this. There's plenty of them, too. And it must be even doubly as tough. But that, like, laying down, going to bed at night and not knowing how you're going to pay bills tomorrow or like, put food on you. I can't even imagine. My wife and I have been in a situation, a time or two, where where there's been moments where we're like, we're not sure how we're going to make this happen, you know, it's going to take, but we always know there's a way, you know, but to your basic necessities or your wondering, you know, every night, like laying, can't go to sleep at night because you know, I ain't got enough money. Like I couldn't imagine. I just couldn't imagine.
And doing
at my age, at 37 years old, that would be a terrible place to be.
Imagine doing that alone.
Imagine
having to do that if you were a solo and you were laying down at night alone thinking about that. But at least like you were talking about the benefits of a significant other, you got somebody there next to you that you can kind of be like, hey, and either they can sulk in the badness with you or they can be like, hey, it'll be all right though. We'll figure it out, you know, and that can be. So having that communication, having somebody to talk to, like back to the benefits of having that significant other and settling
like,
down
or being like two people, friends that I've recently taught, old friends from way back in the day I've talked to recently who were running pizzas and living in their mom's basement in their mid 30s. Like that's just, again, another situation like, okay, maybe I could have like mentally mastered the how crappy that would be in my 20s, but like to be in my 30s, like that in that situation, I that would just a nightmare. It's a nightmare. I'd rather be poor and broke but have my own place than to have a few extra dollars because I'm living in my mom's basement.
Oh, yeah.
And there ain't no ladies happening then. Or it's a very desperate situation. Yeah. It's like, can we go back to your place? Or
and
it was a hotel that charges by the hour. But want to do that.
It's just like emotionally, physically, mentally, all the things that men have to go through, like when it comes to attracting a woman or like worrying about it. If you're lonely, you're on like Tinder dating sites, you're going out, you're drinking out at bars, trying to find somebody, like immediately all that just evaporates. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just like, it's a really damn good feeling. It like makes you able to focus more on the things that you like to do.
All of a sudden the bar doesn't become this, we got to go see if we can find a good time. Yeah. And now it becomes, hey, let's go on a date night to and go to the club together, know, or whatever. You know, if you choose to ever do that again, it becomes a fun night, fun together kind of thing.
Yeah, something outside the norm as opposed to an action you feel like you have to take.
An action of desperation.
An act of desperation.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. Yeah. Which usually leads you to horrible fucking decisions. Places, dude.
Ooh, man.
Ugly women. Yeah, yeah. And every time my wife and I like go somewhere, we're like, oh, let's go to the bar or we'll go to the club or whatever around here, and we just never do because it's just, I don't know. That's, and maybe that's my own agoraphobia or whatever. Mm-hmm. Not that I actually have that, but in a situation, the fewer people that are around, generally, the more I seem to enjoy it. Nowadays.
For sure. For sure.
I have a couple of friends that are habitually single.
Mm-hmm.
They act like they have a good lifestyle, good, you know, single, you know, have some girls lifestyle. They have great apartments, you know, great cars and all that. But it's almost as if, I lost my train of thought.
Maybe an emptiness.
It was something you was just put on with that last comment.
Less people, better.
I'll say it, just at this point in my life, I feel like I'm not at a time in my life where I want to be hanging around a lot of people that I don't know.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you
know, I think I was going back to the stepping out of your class thing. It was like they were dating women that were out of their class, and they were very much not happy. And I was telling them, well, when you meet up with this person, there's an expectation of this. I said, you should maybe find you someone that there's zero expectation. Yeah,
exactly.
Between either of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was thinking. I said, you're both of them in separate, because they asked me, I was like, man, you seem successful in your relationships, you know, I like you, you know, tell me what you could tell me. I was like, you're putting too much emphasis on the looks.
Yeah, man.
At the end of the day, my experience is if they think they're a 10, they jump on the social media and they're showing everybody else their body.
Yeah.
You know, which again, do you boo, but I don't choose that for a mate. That's just my personal opinion.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That'd be so rough. And
it would be tough.
What are you going to get out of that person? You know what I mean?
They're always looking for likes on their body from other dudes. Probably liking some of the comments that are coming in from you guys.
I would just find any kind of a lot of social media use is just suspicious for my own taste personally. You know, I sometimes see folks, you know, our local TMZ guy, you know, I see married women commenting on the posts that he makes. And the post, this is a guy who I know, I'm sure he could take care of himself. 100%. And he is a clever, funny guy, the way he uses social media. I'm not that kind of guy, whatever. But I can, you know, that's what he wants to do, fine, whatever. Yeah. But to see women on there commenting, who are like, if I saw my wife in his comment section, it would be one of the worst, like, probably fights that we ever had. Like, I just could not imagine such a thing, you know?
Trashing other people in the comment section.
The gossiping and all that. And just the general social media use. I just think social media, it's just so bad. There's just not a whole lot of redeeming qualities to it for a woman, especially.
Because even if you just use it for family, and let's use that as an example. A lot of people, I just like photos and blah blah blah. You still got that crazy uncle that's throwing Harris or Trump in your face for every post.
I just use heroin to go to sleep at night. Well, you might be able to do that for a little bit, but
right.
Like I was telling him something along the lines of is like. You know, you're holding out because next week you're definitely going to be dating Megan Fox, right? Like, definitely 100%. That's who you're getting. You know, you're holding out for
folks who vote Republican because they think that they're going to win the lottery Wednesday.
And I urge you to look at yourself, unless you're on the Fresh and Fit podcast. You know,
right?
You don't need to be trying to always get nines and tens at bars and shit like that.
You know? I mean, again, what is it? The three major. You know, the three links to a hot chick, big bank account, I forgot the other two. Big dick. It was one of them. And then big sense of humor or something. I can't remember the third one. But basically, you know, look, big, it's But anyway, you see what I'm saying? If you got one of those, you probably can pull yourself a quote unquote society level 10, if you will. But are they mentally what you need?
Exactly.
Are they emotionally what you're going to want?
Like, again, when you're 20s, it's different. But when you're 30, like, would you rather have sex with, well, is an odd question. Like,
in
would
my
you
20s?
Rather?
No.
Yeah, yeah. In your 30s, in your 30s, would you rather, like, you know, okay, so you have a 9 or a 10 girlfriend, but it's questionable social media usage all the time and spending lots of money, and it's not, she's not
goes
mentally
on girls
there
trips,
for you.
You have no clue what she's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
That type of thing, yeah.
Or would you rather, you know, like
have a
be,
7?
At, be at home with somebody who's, you know, maybe to you, you're there a 9 or whatever
exactly.
It is. You fall in love with them. It's not all 100%. About that. And they're sweet to you and they like to, you know, you cook for them. They cook for you. It's, you know, it's
like
just,
being around
it's
them.
Happy and being around them is like, it's second nature. You
I
know,
there's
like,
a country music song I heard recently. I forget which one it is where the guy's just like, I don't want to know where you're going or what you've been up to, or I don't care why you're phone, you know, dings at 2 o'clock in the morning and you got to answer it right then and there. He's like, I just love being with you, so I don't want to know any of it.
Yeah.
Ignorance is bliss, is more or less what he says in it. And it's like, yep. I think there is a word for you in our society.
Simp. No.
But it's like, and then there's just so many advantages, so many things that you drop off. And again, the entire like reason I even started this is because I think he wants a kid, you know, and you don't want to have a kid to change yourself.
Right.
You know, that's not a good way to go.
Baby goats eat your clothes too.
what was that?
Baby goats eat your clothes too.
Yeah.
Baby goats.
I guess that's over my head.
Yeah, sorry, that's over. Kids. That's a kid. Baby, baby goat is a kid.
Each clothes.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's good.
I literally heard that the other day from somebody. So I just was in my
mind. No, that's good. I like it. Agriculturally themed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was in the agriculture
and they
department.
Put food on our table. So you know, farmers. Sorry. Shout out to you.
I totally messed that up. I apologize.
But our sister asked a good question the other day. Do men have biological clocks? And I can't say that I had mine ticking. You know, I had a kid fairly, I guess, averagely either on normal or probably a little late. Yeah. Probably a little late for
probably
the first one.
Late,
yeah. I don't know. We'll see. But if we're going to have more, it's going to be like 6 more. You know, if we're going to go more than one, it needs to be like,
for the
like a
okay,
hole.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Like one of them bound to be like a billionaire or something, right?
That's where I was going
like
with it.
Buying a lot of lottery tickets at once.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, probably. Just the more you have, probably the worse they're all going to do. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I don't know how much I wanted a kid before I had one, and now I couldn't imagine like
not having.
Like, I don't even want to think of that time.
I had the benefit of it happening to me, and then my whole life changed, and that was awesome. But I could imagine having a kid with the idea that that's going to change the way you are is probably a bad way to go. You know, you got to like want to, but there's just certain things. Like, it is true though. Like, if you're a responsible person, then when you have a kid, a lot of shit just goes out the window that you never have to worry about again. Like, say goodbye to sleep for a while.
There's a paternal instinct. There's got to be a paternal instinct, right?
In everyone.
For guys.
Gosh,
maternal instinct for women.
Yeah.
Paternal instinct.
And if there isn't, if you don't have that paternal instinct as a guy when it's happened, mm-hmm. no matter if you planned or if it was a surprise, then you are you're not a man.
Yeah.
You're not a man.
If
biologically speaking, if you can't step up, play the game, however it's been handed to you, like then you are a little boy.
And we ain't talking about you becoming Mr. Mom like today's society says.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're talking about for providing for that group of people that now rely on you.
Yeah. Making sure whatever concerns you had growing up, but whether you didn't know if you were going to have food on your table or whatever concerns, that it's not being passed on to that kid at the end of the day. That does whatever. If it means you're working extra shifts at Pilgrims
100%.
Or whatever it takes, you know, if you're not willing to make it happen, then I'm sorry. You're
garbage.
You're nothing.
Yeah.
And there's just so many things that happen when you have a kid that like, and I'm not even talking about like nothing, like forget the profound, which does happen. Like every guy's like, I just never knew I could love something like, nah, forget all that. Okay. You literally get to sit there and just be like, oh, I never have to worry about that again. I never have to worry about this again. Like it's all so easy. There's only one way to go and that's the right way, you know, the responsible way, you know, and you don't ever have to deviate from that. If you find like, you never have to worry about, like, I'll never worry about being like drunk and lost again. You know what I mean?
And
like,
that's like, why, if you remember like this that. 6 to 8 months ago, 9 months ago, however long, 10 months ago now, when we were talking about you saying you're going to be a garbage, you don't think, you were talking about how you didn't feel like you were going to be a good father. And I was like, oh yeah, you got this. I was like, the way you talk, just how I hear you speak about him at this moment. This was very early on. How old is he now?
Almost two.
So this was 18 months ago or more when you were finding things out and all this. I was like, yeah, you're good. Just your curiosity of the moment, in the moment, told me that you were going to take the responsible way. Looking back now, obviously, you're a great father.
Perhaps you did it for comedic effect. But
I know. There was some of that. But
it might have been.
A lot of truth is said in jest. Absolutely. So he felt some of that.
Always real.
He felt like he might not be a good dad in that moment. That was a scary time for him. I don't blame him.
Yeah, sure.
I still feel that every day, like with certain little things. And yeah, you might find yourself drunk shitting in a hammock at like some point, but it's all good. Like you're around your boy.
But you made sure the child was taken care of before you started doing that, too.
He was good. Yeah. You know?
And I have no judgment whatsoever because I have one other friend that I can point to that was planned. It was planned. Like, it was like, we're going to do this. Yeah. You know? It was not a surprise or just kind of out of nowhere, you know, that this was all figured out. You know, it was very, you know, meticulously planned. But I will say that some of the highs that you get in fatherhood, you would just never maybe expect. And I'll say the protective nature, because, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, they point to like a lion and they're like, he's a lazy dad, you know, like the lionesses go out and they do the stuff. But man, another lion comes up into the herd, you know, or hyenas or something, dude. That male gets up and he takes care of business.
He's got the most important job in the pride.
Yeah.
Because, like, honestly, the worst thing that you're always avoiding in the animal world is being eaten.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing that you're trying to avoid. Like, you'll go hungry for a while, you know, this and that.
And but adding as long to as you're the
not
population.
And as long as you're not being eaten.
Yep.
Then he's performing a pretty good task there.
Yeah, and I noticed it just like here recently over this summer, we've been hitting up this swimming hole that's between JU and us, and we've been going there a lot. It's kind of a shady place. It's a shady place. It's a reason I did not go there before.
Lots of trees in the
area. Yeah, and now we've been hitting it up a lot, and when I'm out there, man, I'm like Iron Dome out there, okay? Like, I'm 360 degree protection. I'm always, like, I'm always
any
looking.
Palestinian rocket.
Yeah, anything, man. And I'm, man, I feel there's a certain, the pride that I get that there's I'm not going to let something happen.
Yeah.
Today's National Situational Awareness Day. So you have great situational awareness in that situation. But that's
actually National Situational Awareness Day.
Oh, dang.
I think it is.
I was going to miss one of those.
Situational awareness is that.
This is the day of awareness to recognize that there is an awareness day.
You should be aware of your situation.
Yeah, exactly.
We should probably have more of those days.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the video or the thumbnail of it was a lady getting her bag mugged from her.
Yeah.
Brought that up on the show.
Snatched right from her.
Yeah. But like, I don't know, like, you know, I never hang out with people I don't want to hang out with. Easy. It's so easy. Nobody comes into my house unless I know them. They're properly vetted. Unless they're like, you know, the bug guy or something. I'm not going to vet him. Hopefully he does his job. If he steals, big deal.
Mine has been coming around. I'm like, you just steal something, dude.
Yeah, you didn't like that.
You're doing such a good job. Yeah. Like, you steal, take you a little something, a little souvenir.
I wouldn't trust you if you didn't.
Yeah,
you know.
But that's translated for me into buddies I've had since before having a kid they have just kind of randos come through there. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. That just it's your place. You whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But if that's going to be your policy, then I don't want to be there, dude. I don't. There's so many unpredictable people. There's so much substance abuse issues, and you know, I've been reading. I read this book. Highly recommend, called Crooked Smile by Jared Klickstein. It just so happened my I've tried to get into Matt and Shane's secret podcast. Mm-hmm. I just struggle sometimes. I feel like I'm jumping into the middle of an inside joke that I don't know anything about. Yeah, so I've struggled to get into it. I had to drive a few hours recently, and it just automatically played one, and it was interviewing this guy, Jared Klickstein, who lived like 10 years on Skid Row, and he makes this point I'd never really thought about, where he's like, oh yeah, there's a few folks that I knew that were homeless on Skid Row that were just like genuinely down on their luck, and you know, something happened, couldn't make their mortgage, and now they're homeless. He's like, but the vast majority of them are drug addicts that are just homeless. Like, there's a big distinction there. And I only say that is just going in some places where you have friends that, you know, are a little more liberal in their policies of life. And you get weirdos in there who, you know,
it sucks, man.
It sucks. Sucks. Yeah. You never know. It's just when you have
when you can't leave, like when you didn't put yourself there, like you got.
Oh, I will never. It does not happen. Yeah.
I call that being hijacked.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were hijacked. Yeah. To that location.
I'm done with that. Yeah. I am done
with
that.
It's never going to happen again.
It will always be my keys and my pocket and my ride sitting out front.
Yeah.
And I leave when I want to. Exactly. Yeah. Not
no
asking
peer pressure.
Somebody.
I'm not worried about doing any drugs that are there. It's like you can't. You can't afford it. And then, like.
The last time, I'll just say very quickly, last time I was in that situation, my DD. Ended up not being a DD anymore, and was just like, dude, I gotta just sit this one out for a while, and hopefully they got some food here so I can eat. And I was furious. I was furious. Yeah. I got back hours late.
While Mariah was.
No, at home. This was somewhere else. Yeah, this.
Or
is,
no, I meant sorry. Like while you had Mariah.
Oh
at this
yes,
point.
Yeah, absolutely. And then of course that races to your mind.
Makes
what if something happens?
Yeah,
for sure.
100+ fever spikes, or
yeah,
she falls and something happens. So
anything.
You know, and I'm stuck with this asshole.
Yeah.
who decided he couldn't be disciplined.
Yeah,
and I
would say one of the greatest things about being a dad, and this is going to sound really weird, but like, dude, when you work. Get home, baby. Your baby's eating. Your kid is eating, and they go to sleep. You put him to bed, and you sit down, dude. Your balls are hanging like crazy. Like there's nothing in the world that you owe in the world at that point.
Right.
Like you're not stressing about really anything, as long as again you're not like worried about how you're gonna put food on the.
Right.
You're doing well in life, you know. Financially or whatever. It's like there's no more you have to accomplish that day. There's nothing to like worry about, no anxiety. Like could you imagine like being a parent and being like all anxious and like worried about shit that doesn't matter is out of your control.
There's plenty
and all
out
that.
There too.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. That'd
like
be
you
crazy.
Just you feel more like an accomplished person ever at the end of the day than you ever did if you like got home, got high, played video games, drank 14 beers. You know, and then at the end of that, you're just did heroin and died.
Yeah.
Man, and I wonder if that's what some of these alpha male podcasts none of them have kids, but it's just how even the most minor sense of accomplishment can be so rewarding and sure can be accomplishment when you can be like, well, that's another babe I banged, you know, when there's that. I mean, sure, you can hold on to that for a long time, I'm sure. But at some point, like, you kind of want your accomplishments to be a little more tangible.
Yeah,
I feel like
memory that fades.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and that doesn't, you know, like I got chlamydia.
Yeah, exactly.
And I personally think that our sexual memory specifically is, I don't know if it's clouded purposefully or if it goes away quicker purposefully. I think it's designed for population of Earth again.
Yeah.
But
PNC.
Yeah, right. I mean, can you remember in detail any sexual experiences prior to your current person?
Like sepia toned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You just
it's
can't
like
think of it.
Hazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
I don't know why that
it's
is.
Like Benny Hill music playing in the background.
Yeah. Exactly. So it just won't come to mind.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not clear if there's any instances that do pop in your mind.
Yeah. You just don't look behind you.
Yeah.
Also, it's like, I almost never look behind me. Like, and not to say that I didn't learn from my past or whatever, but it's always looking forward.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's exciting to not dwell on shit that already happened.
Oh,
or
my
like,
gosh. Yeah.
You know, worried about, oh man, I really fucked up last night or whatever it was. Like, I'm always sitting facing forward. You know, it's awesome.
Well,
there's just shit that like being at home with a chick that you like a lot that you could just be friends with and a baby that you're like proud of, dude. There's nothing better on the earth than that.
That's called accomplishment.
Yeah, you're accomplished. Like, and you have to really worry about not raising Hitler or something like 100%. That. That's you know, you got to pour a lot of effort, and it probably gets more and more. It probably and then there's a drop off. Like, we're probably at the beginning of the bell curve right now of how much we're gonna have to put into these kids. You know.
Yeah.
But we're just at that starting point still. But
and I think that's even it's even more important to have that sense of accomplishment if you're like the average or above if you're more than the average American and work at like in the service sector. Like we are fortunate, we get to work in industries every day we're accomplishing something, whether it's an hours long show, whether it's a broadcast journalism or production work. There is at the end of the day we get to look back and be like, we created this thing.
That's true.
Okay. And
that most people couldn't.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
in reality,
you work at Walmart, 8 hour, 10 hour shift. You ain't accomplishing. Dude. Like at the end of the day, you're not accomplishing anything physical. Like, yeah, you made it where people could come in and buy stuff and conveniently, hopefully, and a lot of them that they're just there. Yeah.
And the large population with a little bit of training could do that job.
Yeah. You know, I mean, 70% of the American workforce is like tied in. And not to say that we're producing, you know, the newest trucks and cars. We're not working in an automobile facility or making HIMARS or something, you know, like that's even a step above, you know, I think manufacturing, you know. And it's just that I still remember a friend of mine, like back in the day, he'd talk about his dad or his grandpa would anytime he'd ride around with his grandpa, he'd be like pointing cars and be like, yep, we made that at my. Made that car at my plant, you know. Then it was a great sense of accomplishment. I feel like it's one of the things that's hurt our society is the fact that we've gotten so much away from producing things.
Yeah,
not that we can ever. I would never say, well, we need every McDonald's toy. We need to make in America. I would never say that. Okay, I'd rather other people make that.
Yeah,
free up our labor for other things. But
rather those children to have bleedy hands than hours.
Like hours. Like a loan officer. Or an insurance agent. I'm sorry. Like I know any of you listening that are loan officers at a bank.
Oh, we just lost.
Yeah, I know. And just in case.
Yeah.
I couldn't like at the end of the day like feel a sense of accomplishment from that. And that's just me personally. And you know,
although there's probably a loan officer story out there how he'll help old man so and so's get his farm back together. Yeah, and now it's successful.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I mean, for a steep interest rate.
Yeah.
You know, you had to pay a lot of premiums before.
Man.
Yeah. I was there when her husband was in a car accident. Yeah. I got to cut that check and give it to her.
It was well worth my time.
Yeah. That's right. You, like I said, you got to jump through a couple of mental hoops. I would have to jump through a couple of mental hoops to be like really accomplished feeling after that, you know. So
tip that back down.
Oh
yeah, my bad. Yeah. But yeah, like in this individual I've been talking about, he like manages a warehouse every day. Like that's pretty, you know. I bet you can feel pretty damn accomplished at the end of that.
Management
management. Yeah. And you see a warehouse, you see like. Pallets in and pallets out. You know what I mean?
And people.
Getting stuff done.
You're dealing with the hardest thing as a manager, people.
Yeah.
You know, employees are the toughest deal to something to have. Because when it comes right down to it, whatever your industry, there's probably a machine that helps you do this. There's probably some conveyor belt that helps you. You know, there's things that help you. But when it comes to people, very few things help you deal with people.
Yeah. And you know the money's good in that, and as long as you're good at it, unless you crash the forklift into the garage bay door drunk, like you're good. You'll be all right. You got that job.
Even then, you probably got a union back.
Yeah.
Say it was all
four more
last
times.
Night.
All right.
Yeah. So I just wanted to like talk a little bit about that, and like don't be afraid, dude. Don't be like I think I finally relinquished that part of myself where it's like, you know, me and Allie are talking about. You know, getting a play, like buying a house and, you know, combining finances and all that. And just like things just go for some reason. I was holding on to this thing. It's like, no, I'm just not ready yet. Like ready for what? The easiest, just nicest, comfortable, good life, being happy. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The commitment.
The commitment. Maybe I've always been afraid of it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You feel like maybe you've just like you've locked a door behind you or something.
Yeah.
Like once you go through the door, you can't go back.
Right.
And,
right.
And there is, and that's not true, obviously. But
sure. But now that you kind of peek through the door, you see it's not so bad on the other side.
I could do this the rest of my life easy. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And you know, we talked this morning with a guest on the show about the trad dad, the traditional dad, you know, and
trad dad.
Yeah. And look, be a traditional dad. Or you can be a traditional man, but still be like a good modern man. You don't have to be like the one who feels like I need to cry every once in a while just to embrace my emotions. You know, it's like you can you got to find some outlets. Like last night or yesterday, I did the dishes. I put clothes in the laundry or in the washing machine, folded clothes that were in the dryer. Planted seeds, and somebody might be like,
I did all that in Minecraft.
Yeah. And then I changed the alternator in one of the vehicles I have outside. And you know what? I got the end of the day, got to feel pretty proud of all those things. Absolutely. You know what? Yeah. Okay. So what? I did the dishes, you know? Yeah. And I'm sure Andrew Tate would never want to do a dish in his life if he could. But I wouldn't trust him to change an alternator.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm totally with you. I talked to Allie, and she says that she knows dudes firsthand who have like never changed a diaper.
Yeah.
Like, don't. Know how to like, could you like, there's parts of, I would be so fucking anxious if there was a part of my job I didn't know how to do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And
even if you need duct tape or a staple gun, get that diaper put on. Yeah,
you know, there's not a single part of Miles' day-to-day life that I don't know how to do.
Absolutely.
That I haven't done a bunch of times, you know. And but I'm still going to tell him no because I said so. Like, there's a balance between being like, you know, just a soft ass pussy.
Well, bitch. I told myself, you know? I would never tell my kids because I said so, because that was one of the things I hated out of my parents. And I told myself that many times out loud. Oh, I'll never say that to my kids. Yeah. My mom was like, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Sure enough, I said it. And why? Why did I end up saying it? Because the same reason my parents said it.
Yeah.
My kids asked me 13,000 times. And on the 13,000th and one, I said, because I said so. Yeah. I'm tired of telling you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I had already told him.
You clearly can't comprehend my logic behind this. So because I said so.
Exactly.
Because this is all mine.
So
it's awesome.
So it was perfect. So it was perfect. But I was saying, there was many things from my parents that I told myself, I will never do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of those things I never did because they shouldn't have been done. They were they weren't the right thing to do in the moment.
Yeah,
like the no sex talk. You know, my dad's sex talk with me was don't do it until you're married. Period.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you know? Yeah. That's
well, that didn't help me none.
No.
Yeah, so I had to figure it out on my own.
Twins.
Right. Boom. Just like that. So yeah. But the with that being said,
if you hadn't been so pent up by that point.
I was a hybrid of my parents and what I learned that I didn't think worked.
Sure.
And let me try it.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the best thing
best you can hope for.
Exactly.
You know,
blend models.
Blend models. Yeah. Take the best of what you grew up with, what your parents, you know, take the best of that. Leave the stuff you realize just probably wasn't the best and do your thing on those things.
Gosh, they went from condoms to abstinence to now they're like, just whatever. Just don't abstinence does not work. Like,
work on your pullout game.
Yeah. Pullout method.
You know, fire one across the bow. And on the radio today again with this idea with this talk we were having, it almost seemed like the guy was talking about like telling his kids what they're gonna be. That's something I don't really plan on.
Oh doing. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I will tell them what they're gonna be under my house. Like, you know what I mean. Like what they're gonna do and not gonna do. You know. Yeah, he called it a benevolent dictator, which is a great, I think that's a very good, you know, like for your benefit, I am going to rule over you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I still want them to have, justly, yes, I still want them to have somewhat of their own personality and all that. I'm not going to force him into liking the shit I like or doing the things I want him to do. I'm just going to make sure he doesn't do the things I don't want him to do.
Exactly.
And that I know are bad things, you know, long term, you know?
Absolutely. No, that's the best way to do it there.
Yeah. And just doing it, like, you don't have to, you know, I don't know. There's an in between this, you know, because the traditional dad also can be a shitty dad, you know, like, like, you know, make your kid hate you to where it's like, oh, dad's coming home. All the fun is gone.
Exactly.
You know, there's a whole difference between that. Like, I don't know. I think it's all pretty simple when you just boil it down and. You have to have some form of responsibility and know right from wrong, and that's about it.
And prioritize your kids, your family. You know,
yeah, yeah,
that's absolutely. Like you said, if you sit down and plot in front of the news and watch the news from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. as soon as you get home and don't spend any time with your children, you're not prioritizing your kids.
Mm-hmm. I got this neighbor who just, there's like 7 kids living in that house. There's a ton of kids. And I just watch him all day and night just drunk drive in and out of the place. Like, definitely just drunk driving.
What?
You know, yeah. Like, over and over again. And I just wonder, so, and then I saw his kid playing, kicking a soccer ball around last night. I was just sitting there smoking, watching him. And he kept firing the soccer ball into the side of this guy's truck.
Yeah.
And like,
you playing a dangerous game, kiddo.
I'm guessing he was drunk, passed out inside, because I never saw anybody storm out, grip him up or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, just, I'm talking like penalty kicks.
Our dad would have sober. Would have, yes. Yeah. Would have penalty kicked us.
Yeah, for sure. And like, I don't know, if you're never there. Never there, you know. That's, I don't know. It's you can see bad examples of parenting all over the place.
Exactly.
You
know,
you'll figure it out.
Yeah. No. I think the time you've mentioned already, spending the time with the children at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
And play with your kids, whether it's baseball, if you love baseball, if you love soccer, play soccer. If you enjoy Minecraft, play Minecraft with your kids.
Yeah.
I promise you. But do get outside too.
Yeah,
yeah. Once in a play while. With your kids
outside of the cave in Minecraft and go.
Yeah, go to the Nether.
Yeah,
go yeah, to the Nether. For sure.
Enjoy that.
Yeah, absolutely. Show them what it's going to be like if they're bad kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's funny how desperate modern guys, and not any of us here, all right, because we all have plenty of avenues to feel accomplished every day, but just like the city guy, the more urban guy, the modern, you know, the definition of a guy, how desperate they are for any sense of, I don't know, getting back to the male roots, you know, and whether that might be listening to these crates like Andrew Tate. I mean, you just you got to be desperate to want to have to listen to that and feel like you're gleaning something from it.
Yeah.
But it, to me, it's the some of the things I've read recently about the surge in camping, where you have these guys who just they just think, OK, I'll get some money. I'll just buy a bunch of camping gear and I'll just go out there and I'm a man,
just,
you know,
die in the woods.
just, you know, and probably not have the greatest time. Because maybe they're not. It's just and good for them. Go out there and do some of that. And I'm not saying that's, you know, I guess the way I angled into this was to make it sound like that's retarded, and it's not. Or gosh, I can't say that word.
You're all good.
Yeah,
like that's a bad, like that's a bad want. It's a good one. It's a good want.
It's a good one. Yeah,
and it's also one you got to be a little bit smart about too. You don't want to rush off. This can be really dangerous. Being around a fire and things that are sharp and blades for chopping things. And
you remember
and
that guy,
food.
You and I went on the hike, Jay, you mm-hmm. and I, like, well, we hiked up into a mountain and the guy was like, he's like, I went yesterday on Reddit and asked, like, how do you go camping? And he did a good job. He did a really good job.
I was surprised that it was Reddit that he used. Yeah, I thought he had way more experience than, because I came half of the equipment I needed.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I think Patrick I told was you expecting. That I,
yeah.
expecting.
I think I told you. I was like, I got all this stuff. Yeah, so.
I had a friend do the same shit. Like, and this was in high school, or was it right out of high school? You know, real smart guy, real book smart guy. Like, you know, but just absolutely useless with his hands and in knowledge about common sense in the world or anything like that. He's a book learned and going on a, it was just sad watching him like pull out, you know, like a brand new tent and try and put it up out of the bag.
Yeah.
You can't, it was like watching,
it's always going to be a struggle.
Yeah. Always. Yeah. It's like watching a monkey try and do math or something. It's like, it was really entertaining one. And also really sad that like you went to Wikipedia camping, American traditional camping, and just type that in. I've got my space blanket, you know. Well, you'll never use that, like ever, you know. Like, I've got my new knife that's also attached to, you know, my keychain or whatever.
The like flint magnesium
ferro rod.
Yeah, they're like, this is how you do it. And they're like, a lighter, dude.
The best.
Yeah,
my parachute cord bracelet.
Yeah, just in case. Yeah, you got to turn that into a rope to rappel down a cliffside
or a tourniquet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned how to make a fishing hook out of a can tab.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Like that.
Yeah. It's not going to help you. All right. Just make sure you're well equipped and familiar with your equipment.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And the terrain. And
able to get familiar. The hell out of there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm just going to hop into the deep wilderness.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So maybe just start like at a state park or something where there's like a ranger's office.
Your backyard.
Just
to,
yeah, your
if
backyard.
It allows it.
Right?
If your lease allows it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
If your lease doesn't allow you to camp in your backyard, get another, another
that's
backyard.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
It depends. Well, this backyard is actually the bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
Tenants.
Yeah, they pay for that.
Yeah, they pay for that part.
It's this big.
You can ask them.
Yeah.
But I guess just the idea that there's like this renaissance in camping.
Camping.
You know, it's that guys are looking. They're looking for an outlet.
Man boxes. Talked about that. Man boxes. Get a sheath for your axe.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you live in
I haven't got the axe yet.
Yeah, in an apartment. Like, what the fuck do you need an axe for?
Just throw it into your wall.
Yeah. You know, beard oil.
Yeah.
Beard oil for the man. And
always like, a whiskey tumbler.
Yeah, whiskey tumbler and like something that makes like spherical ice.
Yeah,
absolutely. And like, yeah,
we'll tell you what you like.
I'm just gonna order boxes of random man shit until I can
a million lumen flashlight.
Oh yeah,
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Keychain, lumen flashlight, all that. Yeah, yeah. It's just
if you don't like anything, send it back. It's only $19.99 a month. Each one of these items is worth $4.
Exactly.
Yeah, that phase is kind of. Died down a little bit.
No, people get boxes for everything.
Yeah.
Make a man box, beard box, axe
style box.
The
whole clothing. Monthly clothing.
Carhartt shirt. You know, whatever else, all this shit. Emergency, emergency car kit. Got that now.
That's the thing that bugs me. Like seeing like I was at high school recently. Like half the high school girls were wearing Carhartt.
Oh yeah, like, that's a new
So you look like somebody that actually works for a living. Is that the style you're going
for?
Boys
are wearing Lululemon. It's like what happened here?
That's hilarious and true at the same time.
Yeah, what's happened?
A lot of pajamas. I see. Get all these photos in for like the newspaper nowadays. If it's like here's the we got the Be Pro Be Proud truck coming into the campus. You know, it's going to teach them how to weld and learn about truck driving and stuff like that. And it's like half the kids are wearing pajamas. I unless it is designated pajama day, and the kids are like, we'll get extra credit if we wear pajamas. My dog, hey, you ain't wearing pajamas.
That's the truth.
To school, I mean, you want to look like a bum. Not even a bum wouldn't be caught in pajamas.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you need a little more dignity. Than
a little more dignity. I was just gonna say, and I think pajama day at school is so stupid. And I'll say a perfect example of this is the district the school district in which I live, they had one of the instructors was named the Arkansas Teacher of the Year for 2024. The governor came down, governor and all these state officials, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, all right? Yeah. It's not just any governor, former press secretary for Donald Trump, all right? Make America Great Again? Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. And I think that new came hottie.
From? Yeah. Oh, God. I know, dude. I keep dreaming about her, too. But in any case.
She got that eye fixed.
Oh, my God.
No,
goodness.
She didn't. She does. She'd been working out. It's really working. It's really working. She gets great clothes and stuff. And in any case, she came surprise visit to award the teacher, and shows up, surprises him in his classroom. It's pajama day at school. So all the pictures, all these kids, every single one of them are wearing flannel pajamas and SpongeBob and Batman pajamas.
Somebody could have done better on it.
Somebody could have done better, you know? And it looked really bad in the photos. Like, oh, this is a Teacher of the Year from school district. Sloppy kids.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sloppy high school kids.
SpongeBob SquarePants jammies.
Yeah.
Basically, I was just, if you run into a man who's real manly and he seems to know a lot about beards and axes and whiskey, you know, that is not a man. That is the quintessence. These are the golden triangle of what makes you a man is throwing an axe, greasing a beard, and slugging down whiskey and pretending like it tastes good.
Right.
That's it.
There's a reason why you just rinse the first slosh around in your mouth to deaden your mouth so you don't, so you can then get some of the notes out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, guys, I'm getting an emergency call.
All right, now. We gotta go.
We gotta go. Listen, this has been a good one. We're at an hour anyway.
Nice.
So two in a row. We will see y'all next week.
Peace.